Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96, we do the most. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking, heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey, before we get started, I want to give a real quick shout out to the Lane Frost brand. LaneFrostBrand.com is where you can find them. This company is family-owned, operated. They're carrying on the legacy of the late, great, world champion bull rider Lane Frost. And man, I tell you what, they got some swag out for the summer. So you need a new hat, t-shirt, sunglasses, you name it, go over to LaneFrostBrand.com. You can check it out. Right now, they're running a special. If you purchase $60 or more, you also get a free hat with that. The hat's sick. It's red, white, and blue, man, just in time for 4th of July. So, again, LaneFrostBrand.com. Go over and check them out for all of your apparel needs. All right. Hey there, family and friends. Hey, Coach P here. This episode is sort of a follow-up to last week's episode. So, I did one that would be 5 things I would tell my younger athletic self last week. So, if you haven't listened to the episode, go back and listen to it. There are a lot of pieces of advice I would go back and give myself as a younger athlete. I narrowed it down to 5, plus I had a bonus. So really I had 6 things I would go back and tell myself as a younger athlete to help me succeed, right? I was able to become a college All-American, had some success, but I think I could have had even greater success and enjoyed the journey much more had I known some of those things. In the same vein, this week I want to come in and 5 things that I would tell my younger coaching self. All right, I've been coaching for a lot of years, 15 years, starting my 15th year at Shawnee Heights, where I'm currently at, and then 3 years at another high school and a year of college coaching before that. You know, so a number of years of coaching, in addition to my dad being a head wrestling coach and a football coach for over 30 years. And of course, growing up, I got to be around that all the time. So I've got to be around a lot of coaching, and I've been real fortunate and blessed to have some exceptional coaches in my life. All right, so this episode, 5 things I would go back and tell my younger coaching self. So, you know, me when I very first started out versus where I'm currently at right now. And I think just because you've been doing something for a long time doesn't mean you're good at it, doesn't mean that you get better at it. Some people have a closed mindset, right? They don't have a growth mindset. They're never trying to improve and get better. I think most people do. And so hopefully as you listen to this, you can take some of these things. And again, these aren't just my experiences, right? These are experiences that I had being a coach's son. These are experiences I've had from being mentored by great coaches, studying the sport. And so there are definitely, again, I would say kind of like with my athletic self, a number of things I would go back if I could go back in time and tell my younger coaching self. But I don't want to be here for a 4-hour episode, right? I like to keep these fairly crisp. And so I want to cut this back to 5 things I would tell my younger coaching self. Go back and listen to episode number 21 if you haven't done that, and then this will be episode number 22. So starting out, 5 things I would tell my younger coaching self. Number 1, love. And when I say that, I tie this in with transformational coaching, all right? The very first chapter of my book is Game Changing Moves. You can get that on Amazon. You can go to crosstrainingpublishing.com and get that. Game Changing Moves, Life Lessons from Locker and Beyond. The very first chapter is called Relational Leadership. Okay, I'm huge on building relationships. A big part of that is love, all right? That is like the ground floor or the basement or the foundation. Love is. And it, like I said, it ties in with transformational coaching. So for those who don't know that term, we have what we would call transactional coaching, and we have what we would call transformational coaching, okay? Transactional coaching says this. I'm the coach. I have athletes on my team. And ultimately, it's about win-win-win, and winning's not a bad thing. We'll get to that in a minute. But based on this, what can they do for me? What can those athletes do for me that makes me look like a great coach, that makes me look better? So I'm using those athletes, right? And then when they're not winning, I no longer have use for them. That's transactional coaching. And unfortunately, way too many coaches coach like that. Now, there are lots of great coaches out there. There's some bad coaches, but transactional coaching. And when I very first started coaching, I don't think I did that, but I was a little more on the transactional side than I was a few years down the road whenever I learned more and studied the craft more and got better at what I was doing. All right. So I definitely was a little more win at all costs type coach early on, even though I built some relationships and I still have great relationships with some of those athletes when I very first started coaching football, very first started coaching wrestling. But there was a point where I realized the true thing that matters is how am I going to impact their life in a way that helps them to transform? I'm not using them. I want to transform their lives. That means now as an athlete, as a human being, and then they can take that into adulthood and become better citizens of society, become very valuable in the workplace, become great husbands and dads, okay? Or I coach girls too, so, or wives, whatever. Making better human beings, okay? Helping transform. Now, I said winning matters, and it does. I like to win. Everything's much easier when you're winning. The team gets along better, less friction. Winning's just fun. Losing is not very fun. But it is not a win-at-all-cost type thing. And I promise, through experience, if you are a transformational coach and you build relationships and you love your athletes and they know that, and they know that you care about them, not just for the dub or the L, but you care about them as human beings, they will run through a wall for you. Because to this day, I would run through a wall for the coaches that were transformational in my life. I've had a couple of transactional coaches. I don't stay in touch with them. I honestly don't care about them that much as human beings, right? I would never be disrespectful to them. But we don't have that relationship, okay? Their care for me was based on whether I was winning or losing. And there's a point as an athlete you realize that. But whenever coaches do care about you and they spend time with you or they talk to you, whether you're winning or losing, whatever's going on, all right? And they love you and you know that, man, you will run through a wall for them. So I would say to all younger coaches out there, the number one thing you have to do beyond anything else is build relationships with your athletes. Get to know them, all right? And there's multiple ways to do that. Little things like just walking by, putting your hand on your athlete's shoulder, you know, telling them, hey, great job. That matters. That's impactful. Going, you know, maybe they're going through something and you find out about it. Just like, hey, let's take a walk down the hallway of the school, right? Or if I'm sitting in the wrestling room, you know, and that's a comfortable place for us to be able to talk. But maybe I go up and I have a seat beside them and just say, hey, you know, I heard about this. Tell me, man. I'm not going to do it in front of everybody else, right? We're off to the side and just talking. A lot of times practice may be going on or whatever, you know, or maybe it's before practice or after practice. But I want to do it where it's not drawing attention to them and get to talk. Scientifically, physiologically, this is something that people need to know. And this works really well with both male and female athletes. It impacts males more than it does females as far as studies have gone. But with almost anybody, walking and talking shoulder to shoulder or sitting shoulder to shoulder, people open up and talk way more. If you're sitting across from somebody, looking at them eye to eye, or coaches, if you have a coach's office and you call them in there, for the athlete, it's almost like being called to the principal's office. It's not as comfortable. So if I'm a football coach, we could be out on the football field talking. If I'm a wrestling coach, we can be in the wrestling room talking, whatever. And just sitting shoulder to shoulder and having a conversation, right? You're not having to look each other in the eyes, all those things. And it's just nonchalant. But whenever you take the time to talk to an athlete and get to know them, ask them about their lives, things that are going on, you're building relationships, okay? And then being there for them, whether they win or they lose. For my coaching staff, we don't talk to athletes right after matches, whether they win or they lose. You know, may pat them on the back or high-five them, say, hey, good work. And later on, we talk about the match once everybody has a cool and level head and we're not full of emotion. And then we'll talk about what we need to do technically to get better or you know, anything else that we need to address. So those are just some things that we do personally, okay? Those are life-giving, what I would say, life-giving. They are relationship-building. They are full of love and they are transformational. So I would go back and tell myself to focus on those things because people don't care what you know until they know that you care. All right, number two, find a mentor. Young coaches, find a mentor. Find somebody who is great at what they do. Okay, so if I'm a coach, and I am, and I'm speaking to coaches right now, but this could apply anywhere. If you have a profession or something that you're doing, you want to be great at it, find someone who's been there, done that, and is really good at it, and reach out to them and see if they will mentor you. It's amazing how many high-level people will do that. They may not have the time to mentor you once a month or once a week or whatever, maybe periodically get advice from them, but you can probably find somebody who will, or at least if you have any questions, you can get a hold of them and then they can give you advice, all right? But finding a mentor is huge. I believe everybody, and I said this for my athletic self, and this goes the same for my coaching self, everybody should be a mentee and a mentor. Find somebody to mentor you, and then find someone that you can mentor, because we get better and we learn whenever we teach. So if I have somebody mentoring me, and then I can pass on those lessons to somebody else, dude, we are all benefiting. The person who's mentoring me, they're teaching it, so they're benefiting. I'm learning it, so I'm benefiting. I'm teaching somebody else, okay? They're benefiting, and I'm benefiting because I'm learning it even more. So make sure that you find a mentor. And we just can't know it all. There's too many situations that we haven't been in yet. And older coaches who have been around, or businessmen, or parents, or husbands, or wives, or whatever area you want to grow in, people who have done it longer and done it well, have encountered more situations, and they can help us. All right, so, you know, I have my dad, who was a great wrestling coach, Hall of Fame coach, Coach Jody Thompson, my college coach, Hall of Fame coach, Coach Gonzalez, who, when I came to Shawnee Heights, he left, went to another school. I took his position, but I student taught for him, one of my best friends. Number of times I've called him up and asked him for advice on various situations. Coach Heath Esslinger, Division I coach for University of Tennessee, Chattanooga. He stepped down. He does FCA wrestling now, but coached for a long time. And, you know, he's a mentor for me. So I have all these guys that are wrestling coach mentors. I have people that are mentors in business, people that are mentors in my walk with Christ. Make sure that you find mentors in the areas that you want to grow in. And then also, side note, mentor somebody else, all right? So be a mentee and be a mentor. All right, so number three, only take advice from smart people, and I'm being serious when I say this, and people that matter. In addition to that, only take criticism from smart people and people that matter, okay? So if you are a coach, you are a public servant, essentially, you have to have thick skin. You are going to get criticized. You're going to have people that love you. You're going to have people that hate you. Sometimes they're the same people on days back to back. Okay. One day they love you, one day they hate you. All right. Now, we got those people that ride for us no matter what, people that love us, people that are in our corner. And then there's people that no matter what, they'll never like you. Okay. And that's all right. It doesn't matter. You do what you do to the best of your ability, do the right things all the time, and then run with that. Okay. With confidence. But just like finding a mentor, we need to take advice from people. Make sure it's someone who is smart. Make sure it's someone who is intelligent. And we need to take criticism, constructive criticism from people so that we can learn and we can get better. But people that are smart and intelligent and people that matter to us. All right. If I were to tell somebody, you know, who was criticizing me, like, hey, come over to my house and we'll have a talk, or send me a text, and they're like, oh, well, I don't have your number. Guess what? You're probably not important enough to be criticizing me or for me to even be listening to it. You don't have my number. We're not close enough. Okay. And I don't always have to have people in my inner circle being the ones doing it, but people that I highly respect. If somebody is just on the outside and they're a keyboard warrior or talking trash behind your back or whatever, coaches, who cares? Let it go. You don't need everybody to like you. And everybody has the right to their own opinion. You can't control other people's opinions, nor is it really even any of your business. All right. Now, if somebody comes and talks to you in person, then you guys can have an adult conversation. And again, if they matter, cool. Listen to the constructive criticism, or if they have some sort of advice or wisdom. All right. And man, I just listen. Being a good listener is a big thing. Asking strong questions so that you can get strong answers. I love hearing from other coaches. That's why I do online training. That's why I go to coaches' clinics and conferences, so I can listen to smart people, people that I respect, and I can learn from them. So there's a thing, and so let me give you an example of this, all right? So I like to give real-life examples. I was at a coaching leadership conference a number of years ago, and there was a coach there, and he said one of the things that they do in wrestling is they will invite people to come to their home dual meets, and come and sit on the bench with them and be a guest coach. And I was like, that is a phenomenal idea. So it's something we do. All right, our head football coach, I'll have him come to one of our home meets and he'll be a guest coach. And I tell all the guests, hey, you guys can come to practice all week if you want. You can just come and watch. You can speak to the athletes at practice. You don't have to. If you want to just come on, you know, competition day, that's cool. Show up, literally sit in the coaches' seats with us. A lot of times maybe they don't know our sport. So if you don't know our sport, just yell what we yell. And it's amazing. You know, I've had head volleyball coach, head football coach, principals, school counselors, and, you know, head baseball coach. Have these people literally sit on the bench with us. And then they get to realize, because they have this like insider view now, they get to hear the things that we say to the athletes. They get to see the athletes' reactions. They get to hear us yelling something and see the athlete doing what we're yelling. Had so many coaches or people that have done that, literally waiting outside my office door the next day or texting me late at night or emailing me immediately saying that was incredible. I had no idea it was that exciting. And they become big fans of the program. They become big fans of the sport. That wasn't my idea initially. I got that from another coach. And it is awesome. I love having these coaches there with us because the athletes like it, the coaches like it, or the counselors, or the principals, or whoever we have sitting down there with us. All right. And for me, to see somebody fall in love with our sport and to respect our team more and to love our athletes more, man, those are all wins. So again, if you're a younger coach, you don't have to take advice from everybody. Take advice from people that are smart, people you respect, all right? And then people that you want to allow into your circle a little bit. And then make sure that you're going out and you're training yourself by doing online trainings. Right now, there's all kinds of stuff we can do via Zoom. You know, looking at the National Wrestling Coach Association or whatever your national association is for your sport or whatever it is for your profession. But there are just so many ways to learn. Dude, I listen to podcasts all the time. And it's a wide variety of podcasts. I'm listening to leadership podcasts. I'm listening to former Navy SEALs speak. I'm listening to real estate gurus, people that are business experts, because principles of success can be applied anywhere once you understand the principles. So I'm always trying to learn from smart people, get those principles, and see how I can apply them to my profession. How can I be a better coach? How can I run a better program? How can I be a better dad? And I'm a businessman, so how can I be a better businessman? All of those things. All right. So let me recap real quick. Number one, love, be a transformational coach. Number two, find a mentor. Okay. Side note, be a mentee and a mentor. Number three, only take advice from smart people or people that matter, people that you want to let into your world. All right. So number four, surround yourself with great people. We tell kids this all the time, right? Hey, you're going to be like the five people that you surround yourself with the most. If you are around good influences, you are going to learn from them and you are going to become a good influence. If you are around bad influences, what they do is going to rub off on you. Maybe you rub off on them a little, but they're going to rub off on you too. You don't believe me? Go hang out with somebody that cusses all the time. You get around in groups of guys that cuss all the time. You do that for a month solid. Next thing you know, your vocabulary is slipping up a little bit. You're allowing cuss words to come in there. Whoever you are around, you know, bad company corrupts good character. Ancient wisdom tells us that. And it's so true. So surround yourself with great people, coaches. If I go back and tell my younger self, and man, I'm so fortunate. The school that I teach for has allowed me to have a number of awesome coaches on my staff. And I'm very intentional. I just was almost like lucky or blessed early in my coaching career to have incredible coaches around me. And again, I don't know if it was so much on purpose as it was like just maybe even a God thing, all right? But I tell you what, now I would not let somebody on my coaching staff, if they are not a high quality human being and the kind of person that I want around my other coaches, that I want around my athletes. I mean, would I want this person around my children? Would I trust them to babysit my children? Would I think that this person is a good influence on my own children? You know, my wife and I have four kids. If I can answer yes to all those, I'm probably okay with having them around my athletes because those are in a way kind of like my kids. If I answer no to any of those, I do not want them on my staff. Do they have the same goals? They don't have to have the exact same thought process I do. We need varying thought processes so that we have a checks and balances system. Okay, I don't want a bunch of yes men on my coaching staff, but I do want high quality, high character human beings who are running in the same direction. We all ultimately have these same goals and desired outcomes and methodologies of getting there that we agree on. And then we're all in, right? So make sure that you have great people around you. Surround yourself with great people. And not just on your coaching staff. Do it in your everyday life as much as you can. Iron sharpens iron. The better you can be as a human being, it's kind of like, you know, you're flying on the airplane, right? And what's the first thing they tell you? You know, if something happens and the oxygen mask drops down, you use it first and help somebody else. Because if you pass out, you can't help anybody else. Kind of the same thing here. Coach, first off, become the best possible person you can possibly be. Always having self-development. And then you're going to be able to help others that are around you. Well, part of you becoming the best version of yourself is surrounding yourself with great people that you can learn and grow from in every single area of your life. This applies, again, to everybody, right? Principles are principles. They apply everywhere once you know them. So surround yourself with great people. And number five, look for a better way. Question everything. And I don't say this like I heard Jocko Willink say this, and it's true. Don't question everything just to be contrarian. All right. People that are just contrary and just to be contrary, those people are kind of pricks. All right. But question everything and see if there's a better way. My buddy Heath Esslinger again, you know, he has a company, A Better Way Athletics. That's what we're doing. See if you can find a better and more efficient way. I'm huge on efficiency. I want it to matter. Anything we're doing, I want it to matter. I want it to be super high quality, and I want it to be efficient. Don't do things the same way they've always been done just because it's the way it's always been done. It doesn't mean it's the truth just because everybody believes it. It doesn't mean that it's the best way just because everybody does it that way. All right, there's a chapter in my book called Outside the Box, and one of the stories I tell in there, and I've already told this on another podcast, and I'm sure I'll tell it more, but it's a great story, and it matters. So we had this wrestling manager. She came in. She'd never seen the sport of wrestling. It was like her second day. And my managers always clean the mats after practice. And we have this mat. It's called a monster mop. And it's like 6 foot wide. This mop is. And it has like a little pad that goes. It's like a Velcro piece and a pad that you stick it on. And 99 out of 100, actually probably 100 out of 100 coaches clean their mats the same way. They use a sprayer and they spray all the cleaning solution on the mat. And then they use the monster mop and they push it up and down the mat. And that thing is hard to push, right? It like sticks to the mat and it's a workout in and of itself. Well, we get this wrestling manager who's never seen the sport. She has no preconceived notions, right? How it's supposed to be done. And so she comes in, practice over. I look over, she's cleaning the mat. And instead of pushing this monster mop up and down the mat, she's pulling it. She's literally walking in front of it. She has one hand holding the handle and she's pulling it with ease, and she's just smiling, walking down the mat. And I remember looking at one of the coaches, and you know, we kind of laughed, like, "Oh, she doesn't know how to do it," but she's trying really hard. So I remember telling the coach, "Like, well, I'll talk to her later, and I'll help her. Show her exactly how we want it done." So I start talking to one of my other wrestlers, other coaches. Long story short, you know, practice is over. I look up, the girl's done cleaning the mat, and you can see like all the where the person goes up and down the mat. You can see it; it's wet because we sprayed all the cleaning solution on there. And this thing is like glass, right? Like she cleaned the mat and it looks good and it's smooth. And something dawned on me. So I walked over and I grabbed the mop. And instead of pushing it, I grabbed the handle and I walked in front of it, just walking forward, and I pulled it behind me. And it was literally like a third of the effort, if even that. So everybody pushes this thing, this mop. And for one thing, you're leaving footprints behind where you're walking. This would be like painting and walking your own paint. All right. You're leaving footprints. And it's just stinking hard to do. You're like, your feet are not wet and you're trying to push this thing forward and it's sticking in the mat. Whereas when I walk in front of it, pull it behind me, I'm covering my foot tracks and my footprints and it just glides across the mat. I'm 100% certain that's how it was actually created. But nobody does it that way, all right? No one looked for a better way. No one even thought to question it. When it comes to drills, when it comes to wrestling moves, when it comes to organization of your practice, when it comes to how you actually coach your athletes, when it comes to travel, every single thing that makes up what you do as a coach, question everything. Is there a more efficient way? Is there a better way? Again, that's why we study other coaches. That's why we go to conferences and clinics. In your business, in your parenting life, as a husband, as a wife, are there better ways to do the things that you're currently doing? Squeeze your brain, think harder. Look for ways And don't do it just to be contrary to everybody else or just to be different. But if you find a better way, implement it. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. So as a younger coach, or if I could go back in time and talk to myself as a younger coach, I would tell myself that, right? Look for a better way in everything you're doing. And after a couple years of coaching, I realized that. I had a number of wrestlers that were inexperienced. Just coaching them how we would normally coach wasn't working as much. We found some ways to speed it up. So we found ways that we have kids wrestling and within 3 years they're placing at state tournament. That is not the norm. That is not the average. We were able to find efficient ways to speed up the process, right? Kids getting better and better and better all the time. Some of those same kids went on to be college All-Americans and they started wrestling in high school. So placing at the highest level, like 0.004% of people that ever wrestled in their life become a college All-American. This is the statistic of something like that. It's, you know, it's crazy. Very few people ever do it. So look for better ways, question everything. And if there's not a better way, then roll with the way that you know, or if you can't think of another way. But man, sometimes there are just different ways of doing things that are outside the box you haven't thought about yet. And you see somebody else doing it. Don't be afraid to try. And this leads me to number six, which is a bonus, but really this applies to all the other five, is why I didn't like say it as number one or number two. Never be afraid to fail. I would go back and tell my younger self as a coach, don't be afraid to fail. Go for it. Take chances. Take risk. And I'm not talking like things that are dangerous for your athletes, but don't be afraid to show certain moves. Don't be afraid to change that practice and do it a little bit different. You know, a lot of times we really question ourselves and we're so scared to do anything different than what we were taught or how we were coached that we limit ourselves. We put this glass ceiling above us. Okay. Don't be afraid to fail. I would tell myself, I told myself that, or if I could go back, I would tell myself that as a younger athlete. I tell my own athletes that, open up, have fun, go for it. Don't be afraid to fail. So shouldn't we be the example? If you're a boss, if you're a leader, I'm not saying do something irrational, but sometimes you investigate and you come up with a great idea and then you're afraid to implement it. No, just do it. Guess what? Success often comes after failure. You find a better way, going back to number five, a better way to do it because you failed. Don't be afraid of that. Don't hold yourself back as a human being. Don't hold yourself back as a coach and be the leader, be the example for your athletes. Okay. As a coach, I jump in, I train my athletes. I'm doing strength conditioning with them. I don't wrestle live as much anymore. I'll still drill hard. I'm trying to be the example for my athletes, right? And if I'm afraid to fail, then they're going to feel that. They're going to know that, and then they're going to be afraid to fail. I don't want them to do that, right? I don't want them to go out and compete not to get beat. I want them to go out and compete to win. There's a big difference mentally. And I want to have that mental freedom as a coach as well. All right. So these five things I would go back in time and tell my younger self as a coach. Love. Two, find a mentor. Number three, take advice from smart people. Number four, surround yourself with great people. Number five, look for a better way or question everything. And then number six, which is our bonus, never be afraid to fail. These things apply to coaching. They apply to business. They apply to parenting. They apply every single area of your life. Coaches, I hope that if you're younger or newer, that you can take some of these things and implement them, that you learn it quicker than I did. And if you're an old dog and you're listening to this, and you haven't implemented any of those things yet, do it, right? Hey, as long as we're still breathing and we're still coaching, we should still be growing. I'm going to grow today, tomorrow, a year from now, 2 years from now. I won't be the same coach. I'll be a better coach, hopefully, because I'm going to continue to look for a better way. I'm not going to be afraid to fail. I'm going to continue to grow and have other coaches pouring into me, other great people around me. I mean, guys, I have these incredible assistant coaches. Guys that I absolutely love and trust with every bit of me, great people around me, and all those things. So I hope you do too. All right. This has been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. Thank you for all you do. Thanks for listening. If you're a coach out there, thanks for pouring into and changing lives. You do. You impact and you change lives in a positive way. Please share this with other coaches that you know. Copy the link, whether you are, I mean, anywhere you can find podcasts, you can find this. So if you're on Apple Podcasts or Google or Spotify or whatever, share this with somebody else on social media that helps spread the word. And then if you would, jump over onto Apple Podcasts and leave us a review, all right? A 5-star review with a quick written review that helps get the word out even more. And I like to go ahead and a lot of times feature a review. So I'm going to do that real quick right now. This review is from Tyson, man. This is my guy right here. Undefeated state champion for me, Tyson Tolkas. He says, no matter the scenario, Coach P, all right? Coach P is one of the biggest influences on my life. He's a very intelligent man who speaks mainly from experience. His perspective has always offered me a lot as one of his former athletes. I'm excited for his transition to the podcasting world. People need to hear what he has to offer, TCOB. Thanks, Tyson, man. Love you. Thanks for jumping on, leaving a review. Anybody else, if you want to leave a review, we greatly appreciate it. I read them all, and I try to feature at least one of them every single podcast episode. And until next time, this has been Coach P's Perspective. May God bless you and shine his face upon you. Peace. Hey, before you go, human performance is one of my passions, right? So my degree is actually in health and human performance, but I'm a big believer in eating well, exercise, and great supplementation. So I want to tell you about my favorite company to achieve human performance, that is X Endurance. And if you're interested, you can go and find the link in this episode. But X Endurance is a phenomenal supplementational company. All right. So if you're looking for energy, mental focus, overall physical performance, we have products for that, right? So we have Focus, we have Immune Boost, which is a great multivitamin, omega and D3 products. So if you're looking for fitness, wellness, weight loss, maybe just a great protein supplement to be able to use for post-workout, or maybe to supplement in between meals, or even as a breakfast, right? I love to make protein shakes and put bananas and chia seeds and almond milk or coconut milk and fruit, blueberries, strawberries, all these things in to make great shakes. X Endurance is a company I use. All their products have been tested by Informed Choice, Informed Sport, and so testing for banned substances. And to make sure that what they say is in there is actually in there. This is a great company. And for me, someone who is sort of a little bit of a biohacker, right? Always trying to find the best way to help my body train and recover. The products that I trust for supplementation are X Endurance. Again, you can go to the notes in this episode. You can find that there. Whatever your fitness goal is, click on the link. You can go there and, you know, fill out just a quick little survey of information. It'll tell you what supplements will help you best meet your goals. All right, guys, X Endurance, my favorite company, and I'm out. Peace.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.